It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Book of Mark, chapter 14, start from verse 1.
After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death.
Now here we see Passover was coming very close, and the Passover feast, they have to remember how God set them free from Egyptians and how God did the miracle, and they should be thankful to God that they are alive and blessed. But these Pharisees and scribes, thinking how we can arrest Jesus Christ with the craftiness, find some fault in his words, and then we will catch him and we'll try to put him to death. Why should you go and try to kill somebody else? They forgot God's grace, forgot what God has done for them, and the man who is talking to them about the God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and they are thinking he is wrong, and catch him and kill him. Mark chapter 14, verse 2.
But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people.
Now they want to kill Jesus Christ, but they say, we cannot kill him in the feast day. Otherwise, people will be mad and we will have problem. So they do not want to do it this, but when I start reading, why they did it the same time they didn't want to do? Because we learned that Judas was looking for a timing to arrest Jesus or betray Jesus. So he was looking for some kind of chance if he can get, so then he can arrest. But these people didn't want to do it in that particular time. Verse 3.
And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head.
Now here we see, here it says there is a woman. Didn't give the name in Mark and Matthew, but in John the name is given. That was Lazarus' sister. But here we see, in Simon's leper's house, this lady goes. When this thing happened, some people start thinking, if Jesus Christ is the man of God, how can he allow some lady to touch him? And some people were arguing, why should we spend this very expensive perfume for Christ? We should be selling that perfume and give it to the poor. And that's what the people were arguing. But this lady, if she wanted to sell this perfume, buy some stuff for herself, right? It's very expensive perfume. But she saved it for Christ. Sometimes when you love somebody, you do not care how much money you spend on that person, because that person is very precious than what you have. That's why she thought Jesus Christ is the one who gives life and who helps us. And so she wants to show the love that breaking that perfume bottle and pouring on his head. People didn't like it, and they start arguing and criticizing. Let's read the verse 4.
And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her.
This bottle was already broken. She did not open easily and pour little by little. She broke the bottle. So there is nothing they can do and save that perfume. It's already done. And so they are murmuring, and some of them might be whispering, in Mark doesn't say who was really murmuring, but in John, it says Judah was the one. Judah was saying, why are we wasting this money? We should give it to poor. And John says why he was saying, because he had the box and he used to keep the money in the box, stealing money. So he was a thief. Anywhere they can get the money, charitable money, or somebody gives to Jesus. And he was the treasurer of Christ. Can you imagine? Jesus knew this man is a crooked. He's trying to steal money. But still Jesus gave him a chance to keep the in charge of the money, thinking someday he will understand how much Jesus loves him and how much Jesus cares about this man. But he start arguing, and then Jesus gave the answer. Let's read the verse 6.
And Jesus said, let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always.
Now when you read this scripture, when Jesus Christ said, leave her alone, whatever she has done, she didn't know what she was doing, but actually the Spirit of God allowed her to do it, because she was doing for the Christ burial. And she didn't know even she was doing it. So Jesus Christ says, let her alone. What she is doing the right thing. And the poor, they are always with you. Now somebody take that scripture and says, well, Jesus Christ didn't care about poor. He was so selfish, he wanted all the perfume and everything for him, and he didn't care about poor. But he says in verse 7, he says, you can do good to those people, poor people. You have time. Poor people will be always with you. So he didn't say, don't give it to poor or don't care about poor. He says, you have chance to do good to poor people, but I am not with you always. Now somebody will take that scripture and he says, if he was a God, and Jesus Christ says, I will be always with you until the end of the age. And why he is here saying, I will be not with you always? When Jesus Christ said to his disciples, they are going to arrest me, they are going to kill me, I'll rise again, and then I'll go to heaven, and I am going to send you the Holy Spirit. So now what they did to Jesus Christ, they will be not able to do to Holy Spirit, because they cannot see the Holy Spirit. They saw Jesus Christ in person. That's why they were trying to attack him and kill him. Until Jesus Christ came out of the grave, he was like you and me. He had body like you and me. So he could not be everywhere at that particular time. But after the resurrection, so he was not limited at that particular time. So now he's saying, bodily, I will not be with you all the time. That's the meaning, is he says, I will not be with you always, but the poor will be with you always. As a Christian, you should be helping the household of God first. That means the born-again children of God. If they are suffering, you help them first. And some people, you know, they don't understand why he's saying like that, because the born-again Christians, they don't do any harm to anybody. If they are hungry, they are not going to steal. If they are hungry, they are not going to kill somebody. But the people who are not saved and they are beggars, the beggars are killing other people. We see in many places. The Word of God says, first you help the household of faith, and then you can help any other poor. He says, poor will be always with you. Now, many, many countries, they want to get rid of poor, but it is impossible. America is the richest country, was richest and still richest comparing to other country. How many poor we have in America? And so many people are saying, why are we spending money in Africa and spending money in other countries? Why don't you take care of our poor people in America? American money goes to help poor people, they will be still poor. they go and do drugs and alcohol and whatever they want, and they lose everything. So it is very hard to get rid of poor people, because Jesus says, the poor will be with you always. That's not going to change. If Jesus said it, it will be there. We cannot change it. Poor people will be with us until Jesus Christ comes. Okay, verse 8.
She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her.
See, this lady was not looking for advertisement. She did not do these things that somebody will tell around the world, what did she do for Christ. See, Jesus said, she did it for me, for my burial, not knowingly, in advance. Wherever the gospel will be preached for memorial or for her memory, people will be saying, there was a lady, she did this service to Jesus Christ. That means whatever you do it for Christ, it remains. It's not going to vanish away. There is a scripture, it says, book of Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, it says, delight in the Lord, and he will give the desires of your heart. Your righteousness will shine like a noonday. When you are in the Lord, people are going to recognize that you belong to Jesus Christ. When you are not Christian, you do all kinds of worldly things, and you do all kinds of bad things. And even though you wanted to do good things, and you decide, I'm going to give up this smoking now, and I'm going to do it slowly, slowly, but surely I'm going to give. You go into the last cigarette, say, I'm going to take only one cigarette a day. Then you said, I'm going to take one cigarette a week, one cigarette a month. But as long as you're taking one, it will not leave you. One day will come, you'll go and start doing more than before. Same with the drinking and any habit. You do without God's grace and without God's power, you will take it back. But once you bring it to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm struggling. I need your grace and I need your mercy. Then what he does, he gives you supernatural power to overcome those problems. So we have to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you give it to the Lord, people are going to notice. People are going to notice this person was bad. Now see how he is testifying and telling others about Jesus Christ. So we are going to shine. Jesus Christ said, you are what? Salt of the earth and light of the earth. So we are going to shine for Jesus Christ, and we are going to make somebody's life better because of Jesus Christ. So he said, everywhere the gospel will be preached, somebody is going to tell about this lady, what did she do for Jesus Christ. The word of God says, if you give a small glass of water, a cold glass of water to one of my servants, you will not lose the reward. So whatever we do for the Lord, it remains. God is not going to forget. The word of God says, your labors are not in vain, and God is not going to forget what you have done for God's work. So it will remain. Okay, verse 10.
And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him.
Now see, in John's gospel we read, John says, as soon as the Judas said, why did you waste this perfume? We should have sold it, give it to the poor. But the John says he was not worried about poor, but he was concerned about his pocket. So he could steal some money and take it for himself. In John's gospel, he says right away, he start thinking to betraying Jesus Christ. And here also we see he got this chance. And then he said to the Pharisees, I'm going to betray him. And he says he was looking for convenient time to betray him. So he wanted to betray Jesus Christ such a way that he would not understand he's really betraying him. He didn't know Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He knew everything. The John's gospel said Jesus Christ knew everything what is in the man. So he knew man's thought because he has created us. St. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, if you read, and everything was created by him and for him. And so, Jesus Christ is the creator. Judah might be thinking, Jesus will not know. He told these people, I give the sign, I will go and kiss him, then you know who this person is. Jesus knew everything what he was going to do. And he is trying to say, I'm going to look for convenient time, and then I'm going to do it. And those people said, okay, we'll give money. He didn't get the money from the perfume box. Okay, we'll give the money. So he was happy to get the money. I didn't know that Judas actually knew what these people are going to do with Jesus. He thought maybe they will arrest him. They might set him free or something like that. I don't think he ever thought they are going to kill him. You will be seeing in this chapter. Because here he says, I'm going to see convenient time and I'm going to give it to you. And he thought he will get the money and he is going to deceive those people also. So he will deceive the Pharisees and he will even try to give Jesus such a way that they will not do any harm. Or I can tell these people, you know what? I'm going to give you Jesus in your hand, but please don't do any harm to him. That's what he was thinking. Okay, let's go further. Verse 12.
And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go, and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us.
Okay. Now see, Jesus Christ was with his disciples day and night. But at the same time, there were so many secret disciples Jesus had. Like one of them was Nicodemus, and there were some other disciples. When these disciples asked, Where do you want us to have Passover feast? So where should we go? Now he gave them directions. He told, Go and you will find a man carrying the pitcher. But most of the places, the ladies carry the water, not men. Most of the countries I see. But here this man is carrying the water, and I'm thinking he was preparing for Jesus Christ. He didn't tell any his wife or mother or sister, or I don't know the story about this man. He said, I am going to do some service to Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to Israel, you will see the upper room. But in Texas, these Tibetan people made the upper room, just the replica of upper room. And when I went to Texas, I saw that upper room. It's not a very small room. It's a big, large room. And so you can see this man who is a good man of the house or very good person. He gave the large, big room for Jesus Christ. And not only that, he prepared everything for him. And Jesus Christ said, just follow him and he will show you. They did exactly what Jesus Christ said, and exactly they found out. They did not ask any question to Jesus Christ. When did you see this man? What is the name of this man? What is his address? We don't want to go and follow somebody. How does this man look like? They didn't ask any question. So we have to learn that when Jesus says something or the word of God says something, don't ask any question. Sometimes it looks like a foolish thing. When God said to Noah, I'm going to send the rain, prepare the ark, sounded foolish. There was no rain and he is building the ark. And everybody's making fun of him, even though he preached 120 years, not a single person got saved because they thought he's a crazy man building the ark somewhere in the desert. But sometimes it looks foolish. You do it because God says so. Everything, if you read in the Word of God, when he tells his disciples or Old Testament or New Testament, sometimes it sounds foolish. But we have to obey the Lord. When you obey, you're going to get blessed and you are going to find exactly what God wanted to give it to us. Okay, verse 16.
And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish.
Now here they were already eating the food. That time Jesus Christ did not do any other ceremony like we will be reading a little bit later. So they were eating the feast. So they were already eating. And people start asking, means his disciples start asking, who is going to, he said, from the 12 disciples, one of you going to betray me. So each and everyone start asking, am I going to betray you? Everybody asked. I don't think the Judah asked that question. Because Judah knew he is going to betray him, so he kept his mouth shut. He didn't want anybody to know. The disciples start asking, then he gave a hint. If somebody is going to dip the bread in dish, and that's the person is going to betray me. And they saw the Judah's hand was right there. So they came to know. But we see in book of St. John chapter 13, let's read from verse 24.
Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it?
Now here John says a little bit explaining. He said they were sitting there. John the disciples was sitting near Jesus' breast. And Peter maybe a little bit further, he gave him some kind of sign. Ask Jesus, who is the person? He can whisper to you, so you can tell us. Because everybody is saying, who is that person? Judah is the only one not asking Jesus. So see what happened.
Jesus answered, He it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon.
See, here is very clear. He says, he took the piece of bread, and he dipped it, and he gave it to even Judas. And so he showed everybody, this is the person is going to do it. And so they knew it. But still they didn't understand what's going on. Okay, go ahead.
And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly.
And now if you read following verses, Jesus' disciples didn't understand what Jesus Christ was saying to him. Go and do it quickly. Now, they thought he has the money and Jesus Christ might be saying to him, go and do some shopping for us or something. But we don't have time to read following verses. But here we see Jesus Christ kept this secret until the last minute. If he would have said, he knew this is the person going to betray me. And he did not tell any disciples and didn't spread any bitterness to anybody. So we have to learn something. There are so many people, you know, gossip, tell somebody this person is bad and this and that and make enmity. If Jesus would have said earlier, you know what, we have 12 apostles, but one, this Judas, is going to betray me one day. You better watch out from this man. He didn't say anybody anything like that. But the last minute when they start asking him and the John was sitting beside him, closer to his heart, and he said, Who is that guy? He said, This is it. The man who is dipping with me, and I'm going to give him my bread. This is the one. At that time, the Lord's Supper was not given to this man. You understand? This is just the regular food they were eating. Okay, go ahead. Come back to the Mark chapter 14, verse 21.
The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born.
Jesus knows what's going to happen to this man. Judah is going to go to the hellfire because betraying Jesus Christ. If anyone in this world betrays Jesus Christ means, say, I don't believe in him, he's not Son of God, he is not God, and try to make fun of him, all of them going to go where the Judah is going. So that Jesus Christ is saying it was better for that man never been born, because his horrible things are going to happen to Judah. Okay, verse 22.
And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it, and gave to them, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many.
If you read in St. John chapter 6, there my body is the real bread, and my blood is real drink. If somebody doesn't eat my flesh and don't drink my blood, they will not have eternal life. From that, even the Mark chapter 14, verse 23 says, all people ate and drank. Judah did not do it. Because before Judah left, he did not break the bread and give it to everybody. They were eating just the Passover dinner or supper. After Judah left, then Jesus took the bread. If Judah would have taken the communion, then he would have eternal life. Because he says, whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup, they will have eternal life. So that's why it's very important. Some people do not understand the communion. Some churches, they never have communion. And somebody says, I never saw that church. I'll tell you what church is. Salvation Army. They do not have communion at all. And so some churches have once a year, but we have every week. Why? Because the Word of God says, as many times as you take it, do it for remembrance of me. So we got fresh memory, as well as we get time to confess our sins and put it right with God. So the communion is very important. And now all these 11 disciples were able to take the communion. Judah was not there. Okay, let's see verse 25.
Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God.
Okay, when he said that, I will not have this kind of supper with you until we meet in the kingdom of God. When Jesus Christ died, he rose again, and he ate with them, but we did not see anywhere he said to these people, let's have a communion and let's eat together. Only he went, and when they say he might be ghost, so he said, do you have anything to eat? He said, we have broiled fish and we have honey, and he ate. But he did not have the communion with them. He said, I will have only communion with you in the kingdom of God. If you read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Jesus Christ comes and we go with him, and the word of God says we will be always with him. That means the day we go up until we come for the millennium, we will be always with him. And with Jesus, you cannot starve. We will have feast all the time. There will be no day that we didn't have any food in kingdom of God.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.